Okay, we're beginning here on the top of Daled Amud Aleph, about 8 lines down. Rabbi Zeira Amar. So we're continuing what we had been discussing before regarding Chatzot Alayla, about midnight. The Gemara wanted to know, how did David Melech possibly know when midnight was, if Moshe Rabbeinu himself did not know when midnight was? The Gemara's answer was that Moshe Rabbeinu did not know, and therefore he said Kechatzot, to use the Kaf HaDimyon to say around Chatzot. And David Melech had a nes, a miracle that took place, where the wind would come and play on his instruments in order to wake him up at that time. Now an alternative answer that's been given is by Rabbi Zeira here. Rabbi Zeira Amar Moshe, the Olam HaVayada. Truthfully, Moshe did know what time midnight was. B'damid, nami aviyodo. And so then it's not a surprise that David himself also knew when midnight was. The cave did David aviyoda kinor lamalei. Wait, according to Rabbi Zeru, who says David knew when midnight was, was he need the musical instruments to play? Where it says, litorei mishnatei. It to wake him up. It was his alarm clock. It came into Moshe Aviyodo Alamalei the Memar Kichatzot. And if Moshe knew exactly when Chatzot midnight was, then why does he use the Kaf HaDimyon? Moshe Kasavar, Shema Yit'u, Astignei Paro. Because maybe the astrologers of Paro would make a mistake. V'yomru Moshe Bedayhu, that Moshe is a liar. Damar Mar, because we have a statement from Derech Eretz. Vameid Lishon Chalamar Eni Yodea. Persians say, I don't know. Even when they do know, but if it's not exact, if they're not exactly sure, they should say, I don't know. Shema Tidbadeh B'teacheis. Because maybe they will be found to be off, or misquoted, or a false statement, and then people will catch them on that, and they won't believe them. Now, that's a very interesting. Rav Chaim Shmulevitz in Sichut Musar mentions this is an amazing thing. Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't willing to say Chatzot Alayla, even though he knew when midnight was, and he knew Hashem would do it exactly at midnight, for fear that Paro's astrologers, it's Tagninei Paro, would then say, oh, look, Hashem didn't do it exactly at midnight. Can you imagine this? Hashem comes and kills every Bechor in Mitzrayim, does exactly what he says, but they say he was off by a minute. He came at 11:59 because their clocks were off, and therefore they won't believe him. So Rabbi Chaim Shalev says that tells us something about the psychology of man, that when a person wants to deny something or not bear the responsibility of what the meaning of such an event is, they'll look for any reason to get out of it. And even the smallest thing they will use to justify their position. So over here, the obligation that this would entail if God did punish the Mitzrayim, if God was the true God, they didn't want to bear that responsibility, so they would find even the smallest way out. And we have to be careful ourselves in the same way, that we don't try to justify our actions, or we don't try to shirk our responsibilities by looking for a small out or a way out of the situation. Rav Ashi gives another alternative, which is, Bepalga Urta Detlesar, Nargei Arbeisar Havakoi. The Moshe Rabbeinu was actually standing on the night before Makat Bechorot, right at midnight. And then he's speaking to Bnei Yisrael right at midnight, on the night before Makat Bechorot. So he says, Amar Kodesh Baruch Hu Machar, tomorrow, Kichatzot Alayla, just like we're standing at midnight tonight, tomorrow, Keidna, Ani Yotze Mitoch Mitzrayim. That God says, I will then pass over Mitzrayim, and I will have the Makat Bechorot. So when Kichatzot, he was, the Kaf HaDimyon is used to describe where they're standing right now. We're standing at midnight the night before. And he's saying, just like at midnight tonight, tomorrow night, this exact time, that's when it will take place. So we have three answers as to why Moshe used the Kaf HaDimyon. One is because Moshe was not certain as to when midnight was. The second one was in order to make sure that the astrologers of Paro did not deny the fact that Hashem came exactly at Chatzot in case their clocks were off by a bit. And the last one is that Rav Ashi says that they were standing at midnight, and he's saying, just like tonight at this time, tomorrow night, that's when God's going to come, Hashem's going to come, and perform Makat Bechorot. So now Gemara continues. But David, Shamran Nafshi Kechasid Ani. Now, truthfully, this is not a pasuk. It's two psukim put together. In Tehillim Pet Zayin, it says, Tefila le David, Hatei Hashem oznecha neni, ki ani ve'evyon oni. So the Gemara just took le David from the first pasuk, and now the second pasuk is, Shamra nafshi, hi chasid ani. Watch over me, take care of me, because I am a chasid. I am someone who has found favor in the eyes of Hashem. Levi v'Rabbi Yitzchak, we have machloket here. Chan amar, kach amar David lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is what David was saying to Hashem. Rebono Shalom, lo chasid ani. Aren't I a chasid? Shekol malchei Mizrach u'Merav. Yeshinim ad shloshaot. They sleep in until the third hour of day. Vani chatzot laila akum lodolach. I get up at midnight in order to praise you. So look at me, the king, versus all the other kings. Aren't I a chassid? Vidach kach amar David lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The other one says, this is what David was saying to Hashem. Ribono shel Olam, lo chassid ani? Shekol malchei Mizrach u'Merav yoshvim agudot agudot bichvodam. They gather multitudes of people together for their own benefit, for their own honor. Vani yadai meluchlachot bidam. My hands are dirtied with blood, ubishvir, and fetal sacs, ubishulya, and placentas. Kedei leher isha lebala. In order to make sure that a woman is muteret to the bala, meaning that he was asuk in taharot, dealing with things of tuma and tahara. as to whether it was dam nida or dam tehora, as to whether this was really a leida, was this a birth, was not a birth, and to determine what the status of the woman is. I was involved hands-on in the halacha in what we call quote-unquote dirty things, things that most kings would not get involved with, and I was. Not only that, but I check whenever I give halacha. I have my Rebbe Mifiboshet there, and I check with him. I say, did I do okay? I say to my Rebbe Mifiboshet, Yafe danti, Yafe chayavti, Yafe zakiti, Yafe taharti, Yafe timeti. And I asked him, did I do right? Did I adjudicate this case correctly? Did I obligate someone correctly? Did I exonerate someone properly? Did I make them tahor, tamei properly? Velo boshtin, I was not embarrassed to hear that I was wrong. If he was wrong and he corrected me, I wasn't embarrassed about it because I wanted to get to the truth. I'm Rabbi Shua, Breid Ravidi, Mikra. What's the pasuk? It says, Vadabra bedutecha negem melachim velo evosh. I speak about your words of Torah, negem melachim, in front of many. Here it doesn't necessarily have to be in front of kings, in front of royalty, velo evosh. I'm not embarrassed. If someone corrects me, I want to know the truth. And Torah is paramount here. It takes precedence over my personal kavod. I want to get the answer right. So now Gemara says about David HaMelech's Rebbe. Tana lo mifi boshet shemo, ela ish boshet shemo. Or there's another gear, so it's ish bal shemo. So lamanei kras shemo mifi boshet. Because he used to embarrass David sometimes when it came to halachic decisions. For that reason, David was zochem, merited to have a child born to him named Kilav. I'm Rabbi Yochanan, lo Kilav, Shemo, Elder Daniel Shemo. His name's not Kilav, but rather Daniel. So then why was he called Kilav? Because he put to shame if he boshed in Alacha. He was such a Talmud Chacham. So he came back, Kilav, that he took care of his father, the conjugation of Kalev, Kolav, that he took care of his father, that he put to shame the one who was embarrassing his father. Now, what's very interesting about this, that there are two psukim. One pasuk is found in Shmuel Bet. In the beginning, it talks about the sons of David. And in the list of the sons of David, the second son that David has from Abigail is Kilav. In Divrei Yamim, the same list has the son listed as Daniel. And that's why the Gemara here says his name's Kilav. His name is Daniel. What's also interesting is that we hear nothing about this child in the Navi. The Gemara here is filling in almost like a missing part of the story. Because the children that are listed there in terms of order for David are basically what would be the crown princes. They're the ones who would take over as the kings. So the firstborn is Amnon, who we know eventually gets killed by Absalom. The second one listed there is Kilav. The third one is Absalom. And then the fourth one is Adoniah. So all of those ended up trying to become the king and were killed out. The only one who we don't have a story about is number two, which is Kalev. And here the Gemara fills it in that Kalev was a Talmud Chacham. He was someone Asuk Be'alacha, and he took care of David in the spiritual realm on the Torah side. And that's why we don't hear anything about him in terms of the political side of it, where the other brothers down the row all end up trying to take over the kingdom, whether it was Amnon, who was the crown princess, the firstborn, Absalom, who leads the rebellion, and later on Adoniah, who leads the rebellion at the end of David's life, until it's finally given to Shlomo HaMelech. V'alav amar Shlomo b'chachmato. And Shlomo in Mishlei describes the feeling of a father towards a son in this situation. Bini, im chacham libecha ismach libi gamani. My child, if you are a wise man, then I will rejoice along with you. I mean that a father is not jealous of the son's erudition, but rather the son then is the protector of the father. V'omer chacham bini, v'samach libi v'shiva chorfi davar. If you are wise, my son, I will rejoice. V'shiva chorfi davar. And then I will be able to respond to those that embarrass me, those that reproach me. Or again, it could be that through this son, he will be able to respond to those that have embarrassed him, who have reproached him. So David HaMelech took pride in this child who was able to come to his assistance and to return the quote-unquote favor to his Rebbe by having a son who was greater than his own Rebbe and that could show him up in halacha. David, mi kari l'nafshei chassid? Is it possible that David would describe himself as a chassid? V'aktiv, of a pasuk that says, lulei amanti lirot b'tuv Hashem be'eretz ha'chayim, that if it were not for the fact that I believed in Hashem and trusted Hashem, lirot b'tuv Hashem be'eretz ha'chayim, that I could see the good of Hashem in the land of life, meaning olam haba. V'tanei d'shmei Rabbi Yossi lam nakura lulei. Why are there dots above the word lulei? Amar David lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'no shalom muftach ani b'cha sh'ata mishalem schar tov l'tzadikim. I know for certain that you pay back tzadikim appropriately l'atid avo in the future in olam haba. V'al eni yodei im yesh li chelek b'nei amim lav. I don't know if I I'm amongst them. Even though I've done all this good, and even though I've been a tzaddik, I'm not sure why. Shemi yigrom achet. Because maybe I sinned, and the sin took away all the good that I did. Ke de Rabbi Yaakov bar Idi, to Rabbi Yaakov Idi Rami Ktiv. Rabbi Yaakov Idi says the same thing by Estiram Psukim by Yaakov Avino. It says, Vine Anochi Imcha Ushmarticha B'chol Asher Telech. Hashem promises Yaakov, when Yaakov is going out to Haran, that he will be with him and he will protect him, he'll take care of them. Uchtiv, and his way back, it says, Vayirai Yaakov Me'od, when Esav is approaching him, Yaakov's in fear. What is he in fear of? God already told him he's going to take care of him. So Amar Hashem Yigrom Achet. I know that Hashem said he would take care of me, but maybe I sinned in the interim. Maybe I did something wrong, and I forfeited that protection of Hashem. Kedetanyo, we have a braita that says something similar with regards to the Pasuk and Az Yashir. Ad Yavor Amcha Hashem, Ad Yavor Amzu Kanita. So it says it twice. The Pasuk is repeated. Ad Yavor Amcha Hashem, until your nation passes through. Now over there, it's talking about the Yamsuf, but the Gemara is referring to the Yardane, coming across the Yardane and entering Eretz Yisrael. So Ad Yavor Amcha Hashem is the first time they crossed the Yardane. Ad Yavor Amzu Kanita, the second time they crossed the Yardane. So based on that, the Gemara says, Ad Yavor Amcha Hashem Zubi'a Rishona. That's the first time they entered into Eretz Yisrael. Then, Ad Yavor Amzu Kanita Zubi'a Shnia. That's the second time they entered. When they returned from Galut Bavel, in the time of Ezra and Nehemiah, that's the second coming. Bikan Amru Chachamim. The Chachamim said about this, Ve'uyim Ayu Yisrael Asod Lehem Neis B'mei Ezra, K'derach Shenezel Lehem B'mei Yoshua B'nun. That the return of the exiles in the time of Ezra and Nehemiah should have been the same miraculous way that they had left Eretz Mitzrayim and come into Eretz Yisrael. It should have been of the same nature. Yet, why did that not happen? Elishigara Machet. The sin caused it to be diminished, and that they were not worthy then of such a return, and they had to return under the auspices of Koresh, under the Persian kings who gave them permission to return and to live under their rule, and generally for almost that whole time, except for the period of the Hashmonaim, lived under the dominion of other nations and not as an independent nation. But it should have been that way. It wasn't, because the garam achet, the sin caused it to change. So too, David and Yaakov had that same fear. Even though either they had promises to be taken care of or that they felt they were tzaddikim, nevertheless, they were always fearful of losing that reward that they were entitled to because they had sinned. So now the Gemara goes back, V'chachamim arim ad chatzot. The Chachamim say until midnight. So the Gemara wants to understand what is the position of the Chachamim based on. Chachamim command svir luhu. Do the Chachamim hold like? Do they hold like Rabbi Elezer or Rabbi Gamliel? We said before that the machlok between Rabbi Elezer and Rabbi Gamliel is a fundamental machloket and how you understand v'shach b'cha, when you go to sleep. So v'shach b'cha mean literally the action of going to sleep. So that's at the period of time when people normally go to sleep. That's the position Rabbi Elezer. And that's why it's from Tzedek Chachamim until Ashmurot HaRishona, until the first watch, in the time before the advent of electricity, people went to sleep during that period of time. Whereas Rabbi Gamliel believes Ushach Bucha means all the time that people are sleeping. When people are sleeping is the entire night, from Tzedek Chachamim until the next morning. So now, who do the Chachamim hold like? Who are they interpreting the Pasuk Ushach Bucha like? And then how do they get to Chatzot? So if they hold like Rabbi Eliezer, then it means at the time that people normally go to sleep, Sevi Elihu Lame Ruki Rabbi Eliezer, then why don't they say until the end of the first watch? Why are they going to midnight? If they hold like Rabbi Gamliel, Lame Ruka Rabbi Gamliel, they want to say the entire night. So what is their position based on? And this we know already, Lolam, Rabbi Gamliel, Sfir Lahu. They really hold like Rabbi Gamliel that the meaning of the word Bishoch Bukha means the time period when people are sleeping, which is the entire night. So why do they say only until midnight? In order to distance a person from an Aveira, in order to stop them from sinning. Why is that? Kedetanya. Chachamim asu siyag l'dvarim. The Chachamim made a gate around their words, meaning they tried to protect people from doing the wrong thing. How's that? Kadei shlo yadam ba min hasadeh ba'erev. The natural way of a person is to come back from the field after working in the day in the field, come back at night. V'omer alech lebeiti v'achel kima. I'll go home, have a little bite to eat. V'shteh kima, drink a little bit. V'ishan kima, and I'll take a little nap. V'achar kriyat shma v'etpalel. And then afterwards, I will read kriyat shma. I'll say kriyat shma, and I will daven. What happens? A person comes back from a long day of work, eats a little bit, drinks a little bit, like on Friday night by the Shabbos meal, and then what happens? Chotafto sheina. Person falls asleep, he gets overcome by drowsiness, v'nimtza yashen kol halayla, and then he ends up sleeping the entire night. Aval, what should a person do? Adam ba min hasadeh ba'erev, he comes home at night, nichnas lebeit kneset, he goes into shul. So again, he's coming back at night before it's time for kriyat shma. So in order to wait around for the time period when it's good to say kriyat shma, then im ragili krot koreh, he should learn a little bit. He should go in. If he knows how to learn Tanakh, he should learn Tanakh. Im goli shnot shoneh, and if he knows how to learn Mishnayot, he should also learn Mishnayot. Then vikoreh kriyat shma mitpalel. And then, when it comes to the time when he can say kriyat shma, He reads Kriyat Shema, does the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema, mitpalel, and then he davens. Then he goes home. V'ochel pito mevarech. Then he eats his meal, and then has his bracha, and then he can go to sleep. And now the Gemara adds on, v'chol aver al divrei chachamim chayav mita. Anybody who violates the words of the chachamim is worthy of death. It says, ma'ishna b'chol duchta loktani chayav mita. Why is there such a strong statement being made here that we don't find in any other place with the garbe dine de rabbanan, laws that the rabbanan enacted? We hear he say that he's worthy of the death penalty if he doesn't follow the dinim of the rabbanan. Some people say because of power of sleep to overcome the individual is so strong that the chachamim wanted to give an extra punch to their words so people don't succumb to going to sleep, but rather follow the protocol here so they actually say Kriyat Shema Bizmana. Or it's to undermine the position of the one who says that Ma'arib is really optional and is not an obligation. It's a machloka we're going to see later on in the Gemara between Rav and Rav Yochanan as to whether Ma'arib is an optional tefillah or whether it's an obligatory tefillah. We will see later on how we paskin and how we deal with that, but here the Gemara says that this braita is coming to indicate to us that Ma'arib is a chovah, is an obligation. And that's why the Chachamim use such strong words to indicate that Ma'ariv is an obligatory tefillah, and not to just take it lightly. Tosafot points out over here something that is the halacha, which is mikan mashma misha shikia zman kriyat shema, at the time period when you already reached the obligation to say kriyat shema shalayla she'en lo lechol suda ad shikra kriyat shema vitpalel arvit. Person may not eat or sit down to a meal until they have completed the mitzvah of kriyat shema and davened. It's true of all mitzvot d'oraita, any Torah obligation. One may not eat or do any other activity before they complete that obligation min haTorah. So at nighttime, that includes the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema. Sometimes we say the same thing by mitzvot d'Rabbanan, but it's definitely true by mitzvot d'oraita that we tell the person, make sure you first have accomplished the mitzvah d'oraita, and then afterwards you take care of all your needs or whatever you need to do in the evening. Now, today, where people go to minyanim at a fixed time, you can avoid that problem. So even though a person normally davens ma'ariv at, say, 9:30 at night, they always go to the same minyan for ma'ariv, if it's already a part of their night routine, then we can assume that they can eat beforehand. Because they know every night they always go to daven at 9:30. They have a set time, they know they're going to do it then, and that's something that they do not miss. On the other hand, if a person doesn't have that, then they would have to make sure to daven ma'ariv and say Kriyat Shema before they got involved in other activities. So we have this in general with mitzvah d'oraita. It's particular to Kriyat Shema at nighttime when sometimes it's difficult because it's nighttime. But a person should make sure that they mekayim the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema d'oraita before they tend to their own needs or before they eat, unless they have a minyan kavua or they have someone else there to remind them, ensure them to say Kriyat Shema at the proper time. And when the time comes to say Kriyat Shema, that they actually do that. Okay, now the Gemara continues here. Vamamar, kore Kriyat Shema umitpalel. The Braita says that a person first reads Kriyat Shema and then daven Shemone Esrei. Misayale the Rabbi Yochanan. This helps or supports the position of Rabbi Yochanan and Machloket. We're going to see in 1 second between Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Shua ben Levi. Tam Rabbi Yochanan ezu ben olam haba. Who is a person who is worthy of olam haba? Ze asumech geula l'tefila shel arvit. That's someone who makes sure to have the bracha of Geula, of Gal Yisrael, prior to his davening the Shemoneh Esrei of Ma'ariv. Rabbi ben Levi omer, tefilot be'emtza tiknum. The Rabbi Shua ben Levi says that tefilot were actually placed in the middle. Ma'ikah be'ma'ikah miflegei. What is this machloka between Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Shua ben Levi premised on? Ibaitei makra, some say it's based on a pasuk, v'idbaima svara, some say it's a logical argument. Ibaitei masvara, the logical argument is the Rabbi Yochanan savar Geula mi'urto na'mihavi. That there was also a Geula at night. When they left Mitzrayim, the Geula began at nighttime, and then it was finished in the morning time. At nighttime, it was a partial Geula. But the full freedom that was granted to the Jews and their ability to leave Mitzrayim only took place in the morning. So therefore, there is a din of Smichat Geula Tefillah both at nighttime and during the day. Just that during the day, it's going to have more strength to it, and we'll come back and discuss why that is or what bearing that has. Mishua ben Levi Savar came into Laviyala Mitzafra, since they only really went out of Mitzrayim in the morning time. Levi Gulia Malioto. There is no real Geula until the morning, and therefore there's only a din of Smichot Geula Litfila in the morning, not at night time. Vibay de Makro. And others say that it's a Pasuk that differentiates their opinion. Ushne Mikra Echad Darshu. They both learned it from the Pasuk by Shema Dichte B'shach B'cho Uv Kumecha. Rabbi Yochanan Savar Mikish Shchiva Dekima draws a parallel between going to sleep and getting up in the morning. Ma Kima Kriyat Shema V'achakach Tefila. Just like when you get up in the morning, you say Kriyat Shema first, and then you daven Shemona Esrei, Ach Shechiva Nami. So what do at night? When you go to sleep, Kriyat Shema, V'achar Kach Tefillah. First you say Kriyat Shema, and then you daven Shemona Esrei. Shmuel ben Levi Savar Mekish Shechiva Lekima. That it also runs a parallel between going to sleep and getting up. Makima Kriyat Shema Samoch Tamitato. Just like in the morning where Kriyat Shema is near the time that you awoke, Av Shechiva, so too when you go to sleep, Nami Kriyat Shema Samoch Lemitato. So too when you go to sleep, the Kriyat Shema at night should be the closest thing to when you go to sleep, meaning that Kriyat Shema are the bookends, and the Shemone Esreis are in between. So Meitiv Mar Brei de Ravina asked the question, Be'erev Mevarech Shtaim Lefeneha, U'Shtaim Le'achareha. At night it says you make two brachot of the Birkot Kriyat Shema beforehand, and two after Kriyat Shema. V'yamart Boi Lismoch Haloka Samach Ulo Tvila, according to you, Rabbi Yochanan, who says that you need to begin the Shemone Esrei after you complete the bracha of Ga'al Yisrael. Well, now we have an interruption there. You have the second bracha of Kriyat Shema, that's afterwards. After Kriyat Shema at nighttime, we say the bracha of Ga'al Yisrael, and then we say another bracha of Ashkiveinu, Shomer Yisrael Da'ad. So Amre, so the Gemara says, Kevin to Kino Rabbanu Ashkiveinu, since the Rabbanan instituted Ashkiveinu, it's Kigeula Arich Dadami. It's almost an extension of the thematic Geula that is found in Ga'al Yisrael. So it's not actually an interruption, but rather a continuation of the theme. And therefore, even after you finish Shomer Yisrael Da'ad, it's still called Smichot Geula Litzfilah. And the Talmid Reino Yonah actually mentioned why is that. How do you know that Hashkiveinu is really an extension of Geula? They explain, B'shah Shavar Hashem Lin Gofet Mitzrayim, when Hashem was coming over Mitzrayim in order to kill all the Bechorim, Ayu Mefachadim, the Jews were afraid. Umit Balin the Borei L'Kayim Dvaro. They were dying to Hashem that he should keep his word. Shlo Yitena Mashchid Lavo El Batayim, so that they should not allow the destruction to enter their house. Sederach Tzadikim Shireim Tamid Shemi Gomachay, just like we saw in the previous Gemara, that even Tzadikim Gmurim always are worried that maybe they did something wrong that will allow Hashem to punish them somehow or not be afforded the protection that Hashem had promised. So that, Ukeneged Oto Tfilah, corresponding to that prayer that they had that night in Mitzrayim, the Chachamim instituted Hashkiveinu, which is a general tefillah about protecting us from anything bad that happens and any mashchit that will come about. So that is almost like a zecher letiyat Mitzrayim, the geula of Mitzrayim, and therefore it's an extension of the geula mi Mitzrayim. Dilo temahochi, because if you do not answer that way, shachri dechem atzi samech. Even shachri we have a problem. V'amar Rabbi Yochanan b'tchila omer Hashem tzvatai tiftach, ulusof omer yulu ratzonim refi. These are two psukim that we add onto the Shemone Esrei. They're not a part of the Shemone Esrei, but one is an introductory pasuk, which is Hashem Svatai Tiftach Ufi Yagid Teilatecha, and there's a conclusory pasuk, which is Yul Ratzonim Refi Ve'Gonim Bifenecha Hashem Tzuri V'Goli. For this reason, Ela Hatam, what's the reason there? Kevin Zakinu Rabbanan LeMeimar Hashem Svatai Tiftach. Since the Rabbanan instituted to make that the introductory pasuk, Ketfila Rich Tadamya. It's as if it's an extension of the Shemone Esrei. It's not that it's an interruption, but rather it becomes part and parcel of the Shemone Esrei. And for this reason, the Rav Soloveitchik was very makpid that when a person davens for the tzibur, that they say the pasuk v'shem svatai tiftach and yul ratzon out loud, because as the Gemara says here, they're a part of tefillah arichto, they are part of Shemone Esrei itself. The Gemara says, achanami. So it's over here, came into the kinu rabban on the meimar shkivenu, since they're the ones who instituted, kegeula arichta damyo. It becomes like an extension of the Ge'ula. Tamid Reino Yonah have a nice interpretation of what is Hashem Svatai Tiftach, Ufi Yagid Teilatecha. As they mention over here, it's also brought, if you look at the Perish Rabbeinu Yonah, on Masechet Avot in Perek Aleph Mishnah Bet, he also brings a similar interpretation over there, probably a little more detail, and he says, Achshav, Gam Kain, She'en Lanu Beit HaMikdash, we don't have the Beit HaMikdash, Ve'en Anachamim Akrivim Karbanot, and we're not able to bring Karbanot to ask for forgiveness for Hashem. We say Hashem Svatai Tiptach, but this reason, that our tefillot should be accepted like or the equivalent of a korban. Since it was instituted for the tefillah itself, it becomes part and parcel of the tefillah. And the Rabbeinu Yonah says that David HaMelech, who said this pasuk, said it after the Chet of Batsheva. So after the Chet of Batsheva, where David felt that maybe Hashem would not accept his words, that he was not worthy to come before Hashem, so there he says, Hashem, Svatai Tiftach, Hashem, you should open up my mouth, Ufi Yagid Teilatecha, and allow me to say your praises, that you should grant me the ability to come and stand before you, even though I've sinned, even though that I've done wrong, and I really cannot step before you anymore, because I need that forgiveness. So he asked for that pasuk in order to say that this tefillah should act in that way, and you should afford us the ability to still speak and say our words before you. And the conclusionary pasuk is, Yul Ratzonim Refi, Ve'Gyonim B'Fenecha Hashem Tzuri V'Goli. that we ask Hashem, even if we didn't have the exact proper thoughts, we haven't said everything we need, that Hashem should accept them as if we did everything correctly, as if we had brought everything in the proper manner. So these become bookends to the tefillah, and since they're part of the tefillah, they become like tefillah arichto. And therefore, they do not interrupt or destroy this proximity of the bracha of Gal Yisrael to Shmoneh Esrei. Now, what is the greatness of being Someich Geula L'Tfilah? So here again, the Talmidei Rabbeinu Yonah bring two reasons for that. Two nice reasons. One is the equivalent of what's brought in the Midrash. The person here gives tremendous praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He thanks Hashem for taking us out of Mitzrayim and for Gal Yisrael, the one who redeemed us. And then it's as if the person begins to entreat, and then he's like knocking on the door, and then when the king comes to answer the door, he runs away. So the proper thing to do is, one, once you've knocked on the door, is to stay there, and then to speak to the king. So that's the same thing over here. You say the brachot that lead into Shmoneh Esrei up to Gal Yisrael. You're giving praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Once you're giving praise to Hashem, then you should stay there, and then daven before Hashem, enter into the palace, stand before Hashem, and that's what Shmoneh Esrei is. The more powerful explanation is the second explanation of the Talmidei Rabbeinu Yonah, which is when we say Gal Yisrael, that shows our emunah, our belief in Hashem. And a belief in Hashem that He took Bnei Yisrael out of Mitzrayim, that He's able to perform miracles. And once we've affirmed our belief in Hashem and Hashem's ability to do what's needed in the world or do what's needed for us, then we entreat Hashem. We ask Him for things. We go into the Shmoneh Esrei and we make requests of Hashem. And that, the Talmidei Rabbeinu Yonah says, the ultimate form of emunah. That we have bitachon in Hashem that He will answer our requests and He can do what we ask. How do we know that? Because we have emunah, we believe what took place in Mitzrayim. We know that Hashem interceded in nature in order to change the course of nature to allow Bnei Israel to leave Mitzrayim with all those miracles. And so too, we believe Hashem can answer our tefillah today. And now we mention that redemption that our forefathers believed in Hashem b'tzilam. And Hashem saved them mitpalo miyad, and he dominates right away. Nimsa shigam hu boteach bo. It shows that he believes in Hashem. Sheneuto, that Hashem will answer him. Kamo shenal Yisrael bavur shabat chu bo. Just like Hashem answered Bnei Yisrael in Mitzrayim, because they believed in Him. Pneizem askiro to agula mitpalo miyad. That's why there's a din of smichat gula l'tvila. Vabitachonu ikar harira vaemuna. And belief in Hashem is the fundamental of fear and faith in Hashem. Lefikach zochev besidato l'chayolam haba. And that's what gives him the reward of Chayei Olam Haba. That's why this Smichut Geula Tevila is so fundamental and so important, because it shows a person's relationship and his affirming of the relevance of Hashem in his life. This is very important, because many people believe that when it comes to davening and davening Shmoneh Esrei, that why should Hashem listen? It's all these petty things. Oh, my little pekalach, why do I need to come before Hashem and speak to Hashem about it? He doesn't have time for that. And that's the exact wrong attitude. That's exactly what Smicha Gula Tefila says, is that that's not our belief. Our belief is that Hashem is involved in the day-to-day details of everything in our lives, and that there is Hashgacha Pratit, and that Hashem is involved in the world. And that affirmation comes from having the Smicha Gula Tefila of Gal Yisrael to Shmoneh Esrei. And therefore, the more we request of Hashem, the more we believe that Hashem is listening to us, and that we can speak to Hashem, ask Hashem for things, and communicate with Hashem, that's a greater evidence to the fact that we really believe in Hashem and Hashem's relevance to us in this world. All right, beyond that, all the Rishonim have to deal with the same thing over here, which is the problem of what happened in the Galut. Over here, the Gemara asks, we have two brachot before, two brachot afterwards, and then the Gemara says, what about after Gal Yisrael Yarshkiveinu? Gemara answers, that's Gula Richtahi, but we know that we actually have another bracha after that. We have the bracha that was added on of Yirineinu, and so what do we do with that? How do we deal with that bracha that's afterwards, which is a second bracha not mentioned in the Gemara, that was added later on? It was added in order to cause a delay in the davening, so those people who came late could catch up in the davening. And by catching up in the davening, then they would all be able to leave together, because it was nighttime and their bete knesiot were out in the field, and it'll give time for those who came late to catch up and to walk out together. So that extra bracha that was added on, how do we deal with that in terms of smichut geula l'tefila? So there are a number of approaches to dealing with this. One is to say the same thing that we said by the bracha of Ashkivenu, that it's really geula richta. It's all a part. Since the chamim were metakin it, it becomes a part of the geula richta of the extension. That's one way to deal with it. The other way to deal with it is that it's premised on the position that tefillah darvit is reshut, that ma'ariv is an optional tefillah and not an obligatory tefillah. And since it's an optional tefillah, then it makes the smichut geula l'tefillah to be not an obligation over here. So the problem with that is that later on in the Gemara we have this machloket about tefillat arvit chovah reshut. If we paskin that tefillah at arvit is reshut, then we're going to have a stira in six piskei halacha, because we paskin that there is a din of smichat gula tefillah both by shacharit and by mariv, like Rabbi Yochanan over here. And if we paskin that tefillah at arvit is reshut, that means now we have a contradiction in psak, because you're saying that the whole psak here of smichat gula tefillah is premised on tefillah at arvit chovah. So because of that, Tosfot does not like that reasoning. But rather, he said something that is mentioned here, but is more explicit in a Tosfot. It's in the Gemara Megillah, Dachof Gimel. Tosfot says it over there more explicitly. He says, why do we say a Chatzi Kaddish after we end the Brachot of Kriyat Shema before we say Shmona Esrei? So there, the Gemara is speaking about Maftir. And there, the Maftir, the Gemara asks the question whether Maftir counts towards these seven Kruyim, the seven people you have to give Aliyot, or doesn't count. Tosfot asks over there, in our practice, where we say a Chatzi Kaddish and then we have Maftir, what's the question? Of course, Maftir doesn't count towards the seven because it's after the Chatzi Kaddish. So Tosfot says that's why they instituted the Chatzi Kaddish. They instituted the Chatzi Kaddish to show that Maftir is not one of the seven Aliyot. And he says, you know what that's just like? That's just like Maruf. Why did they institute Chatzi Kaddish? To show you that there is no din of Smichut Geula Litfila by Maruf time. That's what Tosfot says over here. The Tosfot the Rosh over here, as well as the Tamidi Rebbein Yonah, reject that understanding and say that it's not the case. Because they say that Tefillat Arvit was reshut, was actually optional, and the Iru Einenu, that bracha actually replaced Shmoneh Esrei. It's the equivalent of Shmoneh Esrei. And one of the reasons they mention it is because the Shem Hashem is mentioned 18 times in there, connected the 18 brachot of Shmoneh Esrei. And what actually transpired when they instituted the Iru Einenu was that they didn't daven Maariv. They didn't daven Shmoneh Esrei Maariv. The Tefillah went like this. They had the two brachot of Kriyat Shema beforehand, the two brachot of Kriyat Shema afterwards. That was the completion of Kriyat Shema after Shemar Yisrael Ad. And then they davened Iru Einenu, the brach of Iru Einenu, as the equivalent of Shmoneh Esrei. That replaced Shmoneh Esrei. And so when they said the Kaddish afterwards, that was the end of Tefillah. That's where davening ended. And because of that, they were actually somech Ge'ula L'Tefillah, because Iru Einenu was the equivalent of davening Shmoneh Esrei. It created the Smichut Ge'ula L'Tefillah. And therefore, the Tabina Reihona brings down the Minhag of the Rabbeinu Yonah's Rebbe, the Ramban, not to say Iru Einenu. He didn't say it because he felt if we're already going to say Shmoneh Esrei, you're saying the same thing twice. You're saying Shmoneh Esrei over twice. So why would you do that? And that is the Minhag Grah today, that in Eretz Yisrael they don't say that Brocha, as the Grah feels that that Brocha was instituted in place of Shmoneh Esrei. If you're going to say Shmoneh Esrei, you don't need to say that Brocha. And therefore, in Eretz Yisrael, they do not say that Brocha, but rather go straight into Shmoneh Esrei. There is always the one argue that the Kaddish itself, which is Kiddush Shem Shemayim, is also part of the Geula Arichta, because we still say that Chatzi Kaddish there. That's one important halacha that all the Rishonim deal with over here. The second important halacha that comes out of it, we'll come probably back to it later in the Gemara, when we deal more in depth with Smichot Geula Tefillah, which is the source for Smichot Geula Tefillah, which the Gemara will deal with later on. But also this difference between Shacharit and Arvit. Even Rabbi Yoch, who says that Smichot Geula Tefillah is an obligation both in Shacharit and Arvit, he sees them at different levels. He says that Shacharit is definitely Smichut Gula Tefillah, and then you have a quasi-Smichut Gula Tefillah at Mariv, because part of the Gula began at night. And there is a nafkamina in that, v'alocha. And that nafkamina is when you have competition between different variables. For instance, if a person has a choice of davening with a minion, or a person has to say Smichut Gula Tefillah. So when it comes to Shacharit, Smichut Gula Tefillah is an absolute obligation. And there we're going to tell a person if he came late to Shul, and he has a choice now of starting and davening Shmoneh Esrei with the Tzibur, or starting from beforehand and doing Smichut Geula Tefillah. We're going to say forfeit your ability to daven with the minion and do Smichut Geula Tefillah because it's an absolute obligation. That is not true at Maariv. It's different at Maariv time. If a person walks in late to Shul in Maariv, because the Smichut Geula Tefillah at Maariv time is less of an obligation, either because Tefillat Arvit is a reshut according to some of these Rishonim, or because as Rabbi Yochanan states over here, it wasn't the full-fledged Geula until the morning. Therefore, if a person is in competition between davening with a minion, meaning saying Shmoneh Esrei with the Tzibur, or going back and starting from the beginning and doing Smichut Geula Tefillah, we're going to opt for you to daven with the Tzibur. And therefore, if you walk in late in Maariv time, better to daven Shmoneh Esrei with the Tzibur, and then go back afterwards and say the Birkot Kriyat Shema, and lose out on Smichut Geula Tefillah. So even according to Rabbi Yochanan, there is a nafkamina between the two different types of Smichut Geula Tefillah here, the one of Shacharit and the one of Maariv. Okay, now the Gemara continues. Amar Rav Elazar Amar Yavina Kol Omer Tila LeDavid B'chol Yom Shlosh Pe'amim Muvtach Lo Shu Ben Olam Haba. Any person who says Ashrei three times a day is Muvtach, he's promised that he'll be a Ben Olam Haba. My time, huh? What's the reason for this? So the three times are connected to three Tfilot Although technically we say Ashrei twice in Shacharit and once at Mincha time to get the three that we do each day. But what's the reasoning? Elaim Mishum Da'ati Ba'alef Bet. Because if you look at Ashrei, it's an acrostic that has the first letter of the Aleph Bet begin each Pasuk. So Neima Ashrei Tmimei Derech. Then why don't you say Tehillim Kuf Yutet? Tehillim Kuf Yutet Da'ati B'Tamya Apin. It has eight of each letter. That's the Tehillim that they use when they want to say Tehillim to spell out someone's name. But there, every letter has eight times that letter, has Aleph eight times. Pesukim Nevi'im Bet eight times. Pesukim Nevi'im eight times. So if you want to think that that's the main reason, then do Kuf Yutet. Why are you saying Ashrei as the Tehillim that gets you that? Elo, Mishum Deit Bei Potech Et Yadecha. The real reason is because it has that pasuk of the fact that Hashem is the one who sustains the world. It's both a request and an acknowledgement that Hashem is the one who provides for all the creatures in the world. So then, if that's the case, Neima Halala Gadol. Why don't you say Halala Gadol, which references is Hodu Lashem Kitov Kulam Chasto? And there, when we say it on Shabbat, you know that it has the pasuk, Notain Lechem Lechol Basar, that Hashem provides for all. So why do you have to say Ashrei? Say that. Ela Mishom Deit Beitarte. It has both of these reasons. And it both has the fact that it's in the order of the Aleph Bet, as well as the fact that it has this fundamental of our belief that Hashem is the sustainer and the provider for all those in the world. The Maral says, and I've heard also from Rav Soloveitchik Zatzal as well, that what's this issue of the Aleph Bet? Why is that so important? The answer is that the Gemara, both in Brachot and speaks about in Megillah as well, is that it's very difficult in terms of dealing with Hashem. If one praises Hashem or speaks about Hashem, the Gemara there says, how can you ever stop praising Hashem? Is there any limit to the praise of Hashem? And if you begin to praise Hashem, then how can you stop? So the only models or paradigms that we can use in terms of praising Hashem is either to use psukim that already exist or praises that already exist in the Torah, or to use some sort of natural order that will end, not because we've finished with our praises of Hashem, but because the order is ended. And that's what the Aleph Bet does. It sets out for us that there are going to be 22 letters, so there are going to be 22 praises of Hashem that are limited not by our praise of Hashem, but limited by the number of letters in the alphabet. And because of that, we use that methodology for praise of Hashem in order not to get into this problem of how did you stop? How could you stop praising Hashem? The answer is that I never. I did it. My intentions in first were just to get through the Aleph Bet. And by doing that, the termination is self-imposed because of the Aleph Bet and not because I have ended my praise of Hashem. So having both this fundamental of belief inside of the Ashrei as well as doing the full Aleph Bet, those together make Ashrei such an important tefillah. And that's why, again, halachically, the person comes late to shul, that if they have to skip things in Pesukei Zimra, the item that takes paramount importance is Ashrei. That's the thing, the one thing that you can't skip, that you have to say, is Ashrei between Baruch Shemar and Yishtabach. So the Gemara continues and says, why isn't Nun mentioned? If you go through the Aleph Bet in Ashrei, the Nun is actually missing. It's the only letter that's missing. Because it has, this is a, what's called Lashon Sagi Nohar. This is really a euphemism for the fact that it describes, Nun describes the destruction not of the enemies of Israel, but of Bnei Israel themselves. We have a pasuk somewhere else that says, Nafla lo tosif kum betulat Israel. That Bnei Israel will fall down and they will not stand up again. In Eretz Israel, they used to deal with this pasuk in a different way. Meaning that if you don't have the trup and you don't have the nikudot in the pasuk, you can actually parse it in two different ways. You can say, Nafla, Bnei Israel fell, lo tosif kum betulat Israel. They will no longer get up. But in Eretz Yisrael, they parsed the pasuk differently and said this, Nafla v'lo tosif limpo. So that they parsed it like this, that they fell, but you will no longer fall. The lo tosif is modifying the nafla. So therefore, nafla lo tosif, you will no longer fall. Rather, kum bedutat Yisrael, get up, b'nei Yisrael. You're going to get up and you will no longer fall down again. So either they answered the problem of that pasuk by reparsing it. But Rabbi Yochanan says that if you learn the pasuk as it's pashtut, the way it's laid out in the trup, then it turns out that Bnei Yisrael, the Nun talks about the Mapila, the falling of Bnei Yisrael, which we didn't want to mention in Ashrei. Nevertheless, David Beruach HaKodesh ends up hinting to this fact, because the next pasuk, which is Nun Samech, what's Samech? Sumech Hashem, the Chol HaNoflim. Hashem supports all those that fall down. So David HaMelech hinted to this understanding of that pasuk that the Nun was really about the falling of Bnei Israel, and the Samech is about the support of Bnei Israel, taking care of Bnei Israel, but also somewhat forces us over to the interpretation of the Bnei Eretz Yisrael. That's the idea that the falling is not permanent, but rather Hashem will help us to get up again. Amar Rabbi Elazar bar Avina, Gadol, Mashinemar b'Michael. So Amar Rabbi Elazar bar Avina. So now, over here, you see it's Amar Elazar bar Avina. In the previous memory, it said Amar Rabbi Elazar, Amar Rabbi Avina. So many say that before, it should have been Amar Rabbi Elazar bar Avina to match up, because these are two memories that are bought, both from the same individual. Gadol Mashinemar Michael, Yoter Mashinemar Gabriel. That the something greater was said by the Malach Michael than that of Gabriel. Tilbi Michael k'tiv by the Malach. It says k'tiv vayofe lai echad min asrafim. They flew towards me, one of the srafim, one of those heavenly avadim of Hashem. Vilu gabi Gabriel. By Gabriel says k'tiv vayish Gabriel asher iti b'chazon. The Gabriel who I saw in my vision b'tchila ma'of b'yaif. That he flew, but it uses the verb yaif twice. So it sounds like by Michael, with one flight, he was able to get all the way there. Whereas by Gabriel, it uses the verb twice, sounds like he had to take two flights to reach. By Mashmadai, Echad Michael. Okay, by Gabriel, it says his name specifically. But how do you know by Yovelai Echad, how do you know that Echad was referencing Michael? Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Ati Echad Echad. Tiva Chavayofelai Echad, Min Asrafim, Miltivatam, Vinei Michael, Echad Hasarim Arishonim, Bale Azreini. So the word Echad Echad, that Gzereshova teaches us that that Posuk in Ishayahu is referencing Michael. Tana Michael b'achat, Gabriel b'shtayim. Exactly what we said here. Michael takes one hop to get there. Gabriel takes two hops. Eliyahu b'arba, Eliyahu takes four hops. Malach HaMavet Shmona takes eight hops. Bushat Magefa, in a time when there's a plague or Hashem gives permission to the Malach HaMavet to attack, then b'achat, he can hop, make that one hop. He's empowered to be as great as these Malachim of Hashem like Michael. So I'm Rabbi Shua ben Levi, Alpha Bishakra, Adam Kriyat Shema Beit Knesset, even though a person says Kriyat Shema at Shul at night, mitzvah likro to al mitato. There's a mitzvah to say Kriyat Shema al mito. Amr Yossi Maikra, where do you know that from? The Pasuk says, Rigzu, vi'al techetau, imru bilvavchem, amishkavachem, vidomusela. So that you should be berogaze, meaning that you should be in trepidation, v'al techetau, don't sin. Imru bilvavchem amishkavachem. Commune with Hashem in your hearts, on your beds, v'domusel, and then be silent. So the idea being that amishkavachem and imru bilvavchem, Rashi says, bilvavchem refers to alivavecha. Amishkavachem says, bushach b'chov kumecha. So say kriyat shema, and then v'domusel, and then be silent. When are you silent? When you go to sleep. So I'm Rav Nachman, im tamar chacham hu ein tzarich. If you're tamar chacham, you don't need to say kriyat shema la mita. Why? Because Rashi says, "Shuragil mishnatol achzor agilas etotamid dayobekach." Since he's always going over his Torah in his mind, it's the equivalent of saying something before Hashem. But nevertheless, Amarbay achtam mechachami bayle demeimer chad psuka derachme. Still has to make one beseechment of Hashem that He should take care of him. Kigon, like biyadcha v'chid ruchi padita uti Hashem kelemet, that I'm giving over my spirit to you, Hashem. I'm giving my neshama over to you. Padita uti Hashem kelemet. You'll redeem me, Hashem, the true Hashem. Just an acknowledgement that Hashem should be the one that takes care of us and protect us at night. So even though he may not need all the other psukim, because he's already a suk b'torah, nevertheless he still has to make that request for rachamim et Hashem at night. Okay, we'll stop over here.